Hello, Sarah Hickner. Welcome to the Flower Power Podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you more about your book. I met you when you were still writing it, and way before I became a podcaster and started a business, I think. I don't even know. It was a long time ago. And it's a beautiful snowy day in Virginia to be reading or order a new book. So I'm very excited to introduce today Sarah Hickner, author of Finding Gideon. So, Sarah, welcome to the Flower Power Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I'm real
Oh my
excited.
gosh. And just a few minutes ago, Sarah and I were talking, and she actually has a podcast of her own. So I did want to Sarah to talk about your podcast and what it's called if people want to listen and learn more about you after this podcast is over.
Yes, it's the Live Where I Learn podcast. And I will say it's evolved over time. So it started out very much kind of the things that you learn in life. A lot of it is horse related, and I like for it to be story related. So I'll tell a story and you kind of learn a lesson through the story. It has evolved to interviews. I have been slow releasing my book on audio on it. So I think I'm up to chapter 8 on the audiobook. So anyway, there's lots on the podcast and it kind of evolves over time.
And you can find it on Apple Podcasts or
Yeah.
Spotify, probably all of them.
Yes, it's on all the major podcasting platforms.
That's really cool that your book's coming out on audio. So again, it's called Finding Gideon. And you mentioned horse, and I can see the book cover, but for those listeners who can't see it, who is Gideon? And can you give us a synopsis of the story without giving anything too major away?
Yes, I can. So basically, I grew up obsessed with horses. And I had this dream of galloping racehorses, which is not like something you do at a normal barn. You have to actually go to a racetrack. And so the book actually follows a couple storylines. One of them is about my horse Gideon, who was the absolute love of my life. And so in college, my junior year, I loaded up my horse Gideon, my dog Sandy, and I moved to Louisville, Kentucky to chase a dream of riding racehorses. And 2 weeks in, I got a job riding racehorses and I was on the track, and a horse that I was on somersaulted down the track with me, and I ended up in the hospital. I was new in town. All my family and friends were in Mississippi, 9 hours away. And anyway, so it was rough. And then 2 weeks after that, Gideon, who, as I said, was the love of my life, was stolen. So the story is about those 2 years of looking for my horse, chasing a dream that tried to kill me. And then there's also the faith journey too, because I grew up in church and I was like, this is not the warm and fuzzy God they taught me about in Sunday school. And so it's about learning to trust a God who gives and takes away. And there is also, okay, I'm a big reader and I have to have romance in my books or I can't
Oh, we
finish.
love that.
So there is a romance thread through the book too.
And now,
So
is
that's
that
Finding Gideon.
romantic relationship your current husband?
Well, I don't want to give anything away.
Oh, okay. Well, you can tell me after.
But yeah, you gotta
Oh,
read it
that's
or
awesome.
listen to it.
Yay. So, what was the process of writing the book? I mean, how long did it take you? How'd you find a publisher and editor?
So the process, first of all, God told me to write the book, and I was like, I don't think so. And then he told me again, and I was like, ugh. And eventually I said, okay, I'll write the book. And so I started it as a blog over 10 years ago. I just thought I'll do it in bite-sized pieces and it'll give me some accountability because I'll have followers on my blog. I had 11 followers. One of them was my mom. One of them may have been myself. I probably was my own follower, so I got the email. But I remember I had 11 followers. And so I just bite-sized it for a little while and that worked. I got about two-thirds through the original manuscript. And then I got pregnant. And my son is 11 years old, if that gives you any idea. So that I took a lot of time off from that. And then I would every couple years pick it up, work on it for a couple hours, and then not look at it again for a couple more years. But God really continued to press that on my heart to write the story. And so in 2020, I finished 2019 with this. This is the year, 2020 is the year I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna actually finish the book. And so I did. I started 2020 and I started educating myself on podcasts. A lot of it was learning to write better. Because I am an avid reader, I knew I wanted to write the kind of book that keeps you up until 3 a.m. Like, to me, if a book doesn't keep you up, if it's not impossible to close, it's not worth it. Like, if I'm not spending my daytime thinking, what's happening next, then it's just not a good enough book and I won't finish it. And so I researched and learned to write a book like that. And I prayed a lot. And so I just spent 3 years diligently working almost every single day, writing, rewriting. I got a coach who basically told me to scrap my first draft, which is what needed to be done. And then I rewrote it again because every time you write a draft, you're a different writer by the time you get to the end than you were at the beginning. And you learn to cut things. It's the first time in my life I've ever been able to tell myself I was terrible at something, but I can make it better. And so it was just a lot of work. And I prayed a lot about it and I did a lot of research and I chose to self-publish. When I went to Barnes and Noble and looked at the memoir aisle, this is a very faith-based memoir, and there's not a lot of faith-based memoirs on the memoir aisle right now. They're mostly about gender and things. And so I'm just not what a publisher is looking for at the moment. And then when you go to the Christian aisle, most of the Christian books that are big right now are more like self-help kind of things and how-to books, not story-based books. The only big memoirs right now in the Christian world are from already very famous authors. So I just knew my book wasn't what a publisher was looking for. And I felt very passionate about owning my story. When you get a publisher, you actually sell them your story. And I didn't want to sell this story. This is the story God wrote through me, and I don't think a publisher is supposed to own it. So I self-published. I did crowdfunding to pay for the editing and the cover design. I wanted it to, as you like, you asked because you can't tell. I wanted it to look so good and be so well done that no one can tell that I published it myself. And I've had regularly people ask me who my publisher was, and I just smile.
It's
Yes.
amazing. And now it's in stores, right?
It
So
is.
you
It's
can find them right
available.
on Amazon, because I did that way back
Yes.
when it first came out. And then tell us where else you can buy it.
So you can buy it wherever they sell books, pretty much. Now, they may not have it in the store. You may have to ask them to order it, but it's available at Barnes and Noble, Books a Million. All those stores have access to purchase it. Some of them are carrying it. If we harass them enough, maybe they will all carry it.
Well, I need to talk to the owner of Bard's Alley in Vienna. I don't know if it's there yet, but if not, I'm going to make sure it gets there.
Yes.
And then
Okay. The weird thing about books, I have to say, is when the author promotes her own book, it is not as powerful as when a random person promotes the book. So I can shout it to the world, but of course I'm going to believe in it. It kind of needs to be someone else that goes and talks. And that's how I actually found it in Barnes and Noble Reston. And I was totally surprised. I didn't know it was going to be there. And I think it's because I've talked to multiple friends and they just kept going and asking about it. And eventually Barnes and Noble ordered it.
And so you showed up there shocked that it was on the shelf. No one tells you when your
It
book goes on the shelf?
was a total God moment. So I was there with my friend who her name is also Sarah, and she was my publicist when we were launching the book. She's just really she likes to write too, and so she just has done it with me. And so we met for coffee, and Essie came, my daughter Essie came with us, and Essie kept going. Essie had read a Chicken Soup for the Soul book, and so she really wanted a new one, and she was begging, "Mom, please, let's go look at the Chicken Soup for the Soul books." And I kept being like, "Essie, I'm talking to my friend. Let me just sit and talk for a little while. You know how we do as parents." And finally, I said, "Okay, Essie, we'll go find the Chicken Soup for the Soul books." And she wanted the one, I think it was about either dogs or horses, I don't remember. So we go to the nature pet section and we're looking for the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And I'm just looking at all the books, because this is where all the horse books are too. And I glanced down at the very bottom and there was my book. And I go, "That's my book." It
Oh my gosh.
was such a funny and cool moment. And because it was on the bottom shelf, I had to get on the floor and take a selfie with it. And there's, you know, people. There's a lady in a chair right next to us. And there is this other guy that was walking by, and they all just stopped to just laugh and laugh with
Yeah,
me,
and
not at me, you
congratulate
know,
you.
because
Probably they're,
right, it was
because they
such
see
a
how
cool
excited.
moment, I think, for everyone, and for them to get to see me see my book in a bookstore for the first time. And then Sarah was there, so Sarah took pictures of me taking pictures of myself, and Essie got in the pictures. And anyway, it was just such a cool moment. And then the lady in the chair who watched it all happen, she decided to buy the book, and I signed it for her.
That is so
So,
sweet. And I love that your daughter was there. Does she love reading and does she love writing? I mean, I can't imagine that she wouldn't want to be a writer too if her mom is.
she does not love writing.
Yet.
She likes reading sometimes, you know, she's a kid, and sometimes she gets really into the mood and she won't stop, but then she won't read again for like a month. And then she'll get excited and plow through a book. My son has sometimes, he's just the same with writing, where he will be annoyed with writing, he'll be annoyed with school. And then one day he'll just get really excited. His school did a scary story contest for Halloween, and he was so excited for me to help him, which was just, I was like, this is my moment. This is it. Mom gets to help him write a story. And he had the story written, but we just went through it and I taught him how to edit the story and make it better. And I think he won something. I don't know. I think he got voted most scary story or something.
That is so cool. I remember when I was very, very small in school, I had a story that I wrote for my teacher for my class. I think I was probably, it was definitely elementary school, and it was called The Car That Ate Food. And it was just about a man who worked in a car garage, a mechanic, and his car was tired of gasoline and like wanted the man's lunch and stole the man's lunch. Anyway, it got published in a magazine when I was young. And I feel like ever since I've wanted to write children's books. So that might be my next goal. We'll see.
That's such a cute story.
So, how have you been surprised by support since the book was published? Has there been anybody who's sort of just surprised you with how they've come around you, family or friends or strangers?
Yes. So first, I will say my friend Sarah that I mentioned, I actually know her through my Mary Kay business. She's one of my customers. And we've been, you know, kind of friends, you know, when you're kind of friends with someone for a long time. But because of this book thing, I mean, she's just really become probably my number one book friend. And she texted me since we started this podcast interview. And sometimes we just meet at Barnes and Noble because we both love books and we just want to be around books. So we have coffee there. So that has been really fun. And then oddly enough, also, my Mary Kay friends, I think I've just been shocked at, like, I was asked to speak at a huge event last weekend. There were over 100 Mary Kay girls there, and I was asked to be one of the headline speakers, not because of me as a Mary Kay girl, but because of the story. And that was just really shocking and humbling to have, because usually within something like Mary Kay, you know, you're having people speak about Mary Kay. Because that's what we're there for, and we're learning from each other as businesswomen. And so it was just really humbling and shocking that they would have me up. And then I've sold like 100 books in the last week because of that event. And then another Mary Kay friend recommended me to her church to they were looking for someone for Saturday morning women's Bible study thing. And so I went and spoke there. And it's just really been a lot of my Mary Kay friends that, you know, we've been doing life and business together for 15 years, and they've just been so supportive since I started my book journey.
Oh,
So
that's
it's been
so
really
nice.
cool.
It's so nice when colleagues, you know, in a different business and support your new ventures. And I think it's really inspiring because they're used to doing what you're doing, like you're sort of doing the same thing, the same career.
Right.
Then you kind of go another way and add something. It's probably really inspiring for them. And I'm sure they've gotten really excited about it
Yeah.
for you.
I don't know. Sometimes it's kind of it's hard. So to be in something like Mary Kay, it's kind of hard to see your friends change directions because you think, like, we've done Mary Kay together. That's our thing. And it you almost feel like they're leaving you a little bit. And so that's, I think, why I've been so shocked, is because I have, like, I've stepped down from leadership to focus on the book. And I've just been so shocked and again, humbled. And I feel so loved in the way that they've supported me, even as I've stepped away from the thing that brings us together. So I haven't, like, totally stepped away from my business. I've just stepped back from leadership.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you have a book club that you're a part of regularly, or would you think about starting one in the new year?
I should do a summer reading club, but of course I don't think about it until midway through the summer, when it's a little bit late to get people on board. But that's a really good idea. The only book club that I'm really in is, our church has a Bible study, but I jokingly call it a Christian book club, because we're reading books. We're reading Christian books together, a couple chapters at a time. It is not the Bible. It is Christian books.
Yeah.
So that's the only book club that I'm in at the moment.
I think maybe you're going to want to start a new one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Be sure to listen to my podcast and I'll announce a book club
Okay,
when I'm
so the
ready.
Live, Ride, and Learn podcast. I can't wait to start listening and reviewing and giving you my 5-star review.
Oh, thank
And
you.
Finding Gideon, again, this is author of Finding Gideon. Are you planning to write another book, Sarah?
So I actually have two other books in the works. Apparently it's addicting. Once
Like
you start,
everything,
you can't stop. Yes. And so I have one book that's geared more towards horse people, that it's going to be called, I believe it's going to be called, maybe I shouldn't give my title away.
Okay,
I
babe,
don't know.
don't. You don't need to.
I won't tell the title, okay? But it's going to be just about overcoming fear after falling off a horse. So it's going to be more for other horse people who are, because that's a very common thing, especially as we get older, you know, you don't bounce as well. And people just start to struggle a lot with fear. And so one of my friends said, I need to write this book. And I thought, she's right. I do need to write this book. And then the other one is a totally different direction. And this was a, like, God download into my head as soon as Finding Gideon was done. And I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a romance book. So for people who like to read romance, get ready. But here's the twist. It is going to be more for married people, because most romances that we read on the market are all about meeting someone new. And I think sometimes it's hard to maintain a healthy marriage when all the books you're reading are about new romance. And so you're just sitting there and you've got this guy next to you in bed, right? And you just start thinking about how stale he is, because
you're reading Shades of Grey and you're like, wait a second.
Yes. And you're like, what's going on? Yeah. And there's all these, the meet cute, all the romance books have the meet cute is when they meet the cute guy, right? And when you're married, you kind of, you're like, oh, I'm stuck with this guy here, you know? And so the romance is going to be about already married couples whose relationship has grown stale or is on the rocks, and then them falling back in love.
Oh, so will it be different couple stories or one couple?
It's going to be a series.
Oh, that sounds so good, but it's fiction, right?
It's fiction.
Based
yeah,
on,
totally
maybe it'll be
fiction.
some based on some people, you know,
Yeah, it's
that.
totally going to be all based on, like, people that I know or stories that I've heard, or, you know, but it's going to be, speaking of Christian book club, it's a Christian book club that meets at a coffee shop. And so eventually I'm going to, like, every person in the book club is going to have a book. So there'll be standalone, all the books will be standalone, but there'll be overlap. So it's going to be a series, but you know, you don't have to read the one to get to the next one, kind of thing.
I love that.
So,
I think that's really powerful. I mean, marriage is tough. And so I think a book that talks about that struggle, like whether people are in counseling and get through that, you know, is such a great idea for a
yes. And it's going to be rom-com, because
okay.
I will say Finding Gideon was really heavy, and it's an incredible story, but it's heavy, and I just needed something funny.
Yeah.
So the romance series will be rom-com. I also just think when you're dealing with hard stuff, if we can make it funny, it helps you get through it better. And, you know, and marriage is hard. And so there's going to be really hard topics that, like, each couple is going to kind of have their own, like, token marriage issue. That's a really common marriage issue in society. So anyway, but when you're dealing with the hard stuff, you need funny stuff. So my first couple, they have twin boys, and bottomless funnies when you have twins to throw spaghetti on the wall at the worst moments and things. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited, Sarah. I can't wait to read all of your other upcoming books, listen to your podcast. And yeah, I mean, I can't wait to share my married stories and post-married dating app stories. Whatever you want to hear, I'll share.
Yes. That's what I just want to meet with people. If you have funny stories, if you have crappy story, like it's all, if you
People
have
with great
real
stories
stories.
can just email you, right? What is your email or website if people wanted to email you? How about your email?
Okay, so if you go, actually, so if you join my email list, all you
Okay.
have to do is click reply to any of my emails and
Okay.
it'll come to me. And to join my email list, you just go to liveridelearn.com/ free short story, and you'll get a free short story, which is, I will, just a little teaser, it's called Three Horses and a Wedding, and it is about my wedding day and a little horse mishap that happens. But if you plan to read Finding Gideon first, because Three Horses and a Wedding is going to give you some major spoilers on
Okay.
Finding Gideon.
Okay.
So go get your free short story, join my email list, and then all you have to do is click reply to your first email and you can email me. But yeah, I like getting personal stories. One lady, I was at a book event, a book festival, and I told her about my idea and that I was working on it. And she told me about this event that happened that was mind-boggling. She said her husband was a bartender, and she was working at the same restaurant, I think, as her husband. And one of the servers walked up, and the server was a female, and she told the server, "Oh, I like your shirt." And the lady said, "Well, you should. It's your husband's." All the things that go through your head, right? It turned out to be kind of an innocent thing. Like maybe she spilled something on her shirt and her husband had an extra win or something. But you're immediately like, oh, no, she didn't. No, he didn't, And so that's actually, I wrote that moment into my book. She said, you can use it if you want. And I said, I will use that. That's because you just immediately, your mind goes out of control. As a woman, doesn't matter how pure the guy is, when you hear you should like it, it's your husband's, like, we can't think kind thoughts.
Yep. When I was going through my divorce, I was in a support group. And so the women who were in it with me, we stay in touch and we get together every so often. And she is at least 10 years older than me and was on the dating apps, just like me. So we were all sort of sharing our stories about these. And she said she didn't even meet somebody, just was talking to somebody, and just it didn't really go anywhere. So she just wanted to kind of stop chatting with this person. And you know what he sent her? He sent her a photo. Do you know what it was of? You will never guess this. He sent her a photo of his poop in the toilet. She got a poop photo for not responding to him or something. So that is just hilarious. I mean, I don't have any funny app stories like that one, but can
Oh my gosh.
you imagine? She tells it so well. I mean, she needs to write a
So
book about
gross.
her stories, include that one herself.
It's a good thing she didn't respond. What a
Exactly.
weirdo to send.
All right, so we will go to
Wow.
liveridelearn.com/free short story to
Yes.
join your email list and kind of keep up with your spiritual journey and keep getting
Yeah.
emails if that's what you send out,
Yes.
and to
I
learn more
send
about
about
them.
one email a month, and I'll have an update from the writing desk. So you'll know if my audiobook is launching at the end of this month. You'll know when my new books are out. I always include horse pictures. People love the horse pictures, and they're not random stock photos. It's like actual pictures of me at the barn and my horse Danny, who's a clown and a lot of fun. And then also, I always share updates, or I usually share updates from my spiritual journey and kind of what God's working in my heart with. So it's kind of like a devotional, but not really. But I try not to make it too long because nobody wants a long email.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much, and keep up the awesome work and the awesome writing. And I can't wait to see where all of this goes. And thanks for so much for being on my podcast. You're my first author.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited for you and this business that you've created. I love all these flower things that you're doing, the flower crowns. I was so mad when we missed that event because I actually saw someone's crown after, and it was so beautiful. I just you're so creative, and I'm loving it. This is really cool. I'm really excited for you.
When your daughter has a birthday party, I can come and make flower crowns for everyone.
Okay, I love
All
it.
right, Sarah. So good to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.